Chapter 3. It took an eternity for Payne and Wells to leave. The short detective bombarded Lexi with a series of questions, then warned her not to skip town before demanding her blood-stained chef's shirt as evidence. Lexi glared over at Brad, who watched them with a satisfied smirk on his face, before she changed her shirt and put on one of the kitchen aprons. Somewhere in the middle of questioning, Nance had laughed, but not before demanding Lexi's presence once she was done with her baking. Her grandmother seemed practically giddy with delight, and Lexi figured she'd probably have the large rustic cabin she shared with two of her friends turned into some sort of command center to use for running the investigation by the time she got there. Lexi got busy rolling out dough. She needed 20 pies for the dinner service, and all that questioning had taken up valuable pie-making time. She worked at breakneck speed, since she didn't want to waste the whole day in the kitchen. "I can't believe Brad ratted you out like that," Dina said, cutting her eyes toward Brad. Lexi pursed her lips. "Yeah, what a jerk." Then, looking up at Dina's wide eyes, she added, "I didn't kill him."
"Oh, I know that," Dina said, then leaned across the table and lowered her voice. "Do you think it was someone in here?"
Lexi glanced around the kitchen. Sylvia had easily slipped into the role of head chef and was overseeing the food preparations. She had to admit that Sylvia was much more pleasant than Dugasse. Could she be the killer? Everyone else seemed to be focused on their job. No one was acting like they had just stabbed someone. "I don't know. The police seemed to think so, but it could have been anyone, really."
"Yeah, someone could have come from the woods and killed him. I bet a guy like that had a lot of enemies," Dina said, as she turned to put two more pies in the oven.
Lexi glanced out the kitchen window at the large section of woods behind the dining lodge. Someone could have come from the woods. There were several paths out there.
"I heard he was behind the dumpster. What was he doing there?"
Dina started pouring the filling into more pie shells. Lexi bit her bottom lip.
"I don't know."
What was he doing behind the dumpster? She'd assumed the chef had gone out for a smoke, but usually the smoker stayed right outside the kitchen door. There would be no reason for him to go behind the dumpster, unless he was lured there, or had some sort of secret meeting and didn't want to be seen. Lexi finished rolling out the last of the pie dough, cut it into two circles, and quickly fitted them into pie plates for Dina to fill.
"Can you fill these and bake them, then set them to cool? I need to take off," Lexi said as she untied her apron.
"No problem,"
Dina nodded, getting to work with the pie filling. Lexi bunched up her apron and threw it in the clothes hamper as she headed toward the door. She was in a hurry to get to Nan's. This case had a lot of angles to it, and she'd feel much better if someone competent was looking into it. She didn't know if she trusted the pie-eating Detective Payne, but she did know that Nans and her friends were good at solving crimes. They'd even helped the police department back home, where her fiancé Jack was a homicide detective, solve several cases. Plus, she figured, it couldn't hurt to do some investigating of her own. It might help solve the case more quickly, and she wanted to make sure the real killer was caught, especially since she seemed to be the one that was at the top of Payne's suspect list. Lexi stopped outside the dining hall, taking a deep breath to calm herself from the stresses of the morning. She was no stranger to dead bodies. In fact, she seemed to come across them frequently, much to the dismay of her fiancé and the delight of her grandmother. But still, it was never pleasant to find someone dead, or to become the number one suspect. Starting down the hill, she tried to push the image of Chef Dugasse with a knife sticking out of his chest from her mind. Instead, she focused on the scene in front of her. The dining lodge was at the top of a hill with panoramic views of the rest of the resort. Lexi looked out over the pristine lake, which was dotted with kayaks and canoes. Sunlight glinted off the deep blue waters. The peaceful sound of chirping birds filled the air, and the smell of pine permeated her nostrils, adding to the tranquil scene. The resort was all about nature and relaxation. The roads were dirt, more like paths, and people rarely drove cars on them, only to get to their cottages and to leave the resort. Most people walked or drove small golf carts inside the complex, and the absence of the drone of car engines added to the peaceful feeling. Quaint, rustic cottages painted in reds, blues, whites, and greens, their shutters with cutouts of pine trees, sat along the roadways. Most of them had porches, complete with rockers, and the yards were bursting with colorful displays of flowers. Lexi could see hammocks swinging in the breeze and wished she had time to relax in one. Turning left on Aspen Lane, she headed toward Nan's cottage, which was one of the largest in the resort. It sat at the very end of the street and had a huge front porch on which Nan's and her three friends, Ruth, Ida, and Helen, were waiting.
"Lexi, are you okay?" Ruth hugged her.
"Come inside, dear. We made some tea."
Helen held the door to the cottage open and ushered Lexi inside.
"Tell us all about finding the body."
Ida scooted a chair out from the wide pine table that sat next to a large window on one side of the room, indicating for Lexi to sit. Ruth appeared at her side with a steaming cup of tea, and then all four ladies took their seats around the table, staring at Lexi with wide, excited eyes. Lexi sipped her tea and looked around the room. It resembled the squad room from an episode of Castle. There was a giant whiteboard with a picture of Chef Dugasse on it and different columns of information. Papers were piled up on a nearby desk. Nan's iPad was charging on the coffee table.
"Where did you guys get that?"
Lexi waved at the whiteboard.
"Oh, Norman brought us to Staples and helped us with it,"
Ida said, referring to her fiancé who had accompanied her on vacation. They had a small cottage near the lake, while Nan's, Ruth, and Helen shared this one. Lexi and Jack had their own cottage a few streets over, which they shared with Lexi's white poodle mix, Sprinkles. The thought of her dog made Lexi smile, and she glanced at her watch. She'd better hurry. She wanted to take Sprinkles for a walk before dinner, and she should spend some time with Jack.
"Tell us everything you know about the murder,"
Nan's interrupted Lexi's thoughts. "There's not much to tell. I went out to talk to Chef Dugasse. I had seen him go outside earlier. When he wasn't outside the door, I looked a little further, and I saw his shoes on the other side of the dumpster, toes up. I ran over, and there he was with a knife in his chest."
"You didn't see anyone else or hear anything?"
"Had she?"
"I'm not sure. I was so distraught at finding him like that, I really wasn't thinking."
"So he was already dead?"
Helen went over to the whiteboard.
"Yes, I think so."
"And what time was that?"
Lexi gnawed on her bottom lip.
"I'm not sure. I didn't look at my watch or anything. But it was probably about 5 or 10 minutes before I called 911.
Lexi pulled her cell phone out of her pocket and looked through the sent calls.
The 911 call was sent at 8:12.
Helen wrote the time on the whiteboard. Nan's got up from her chair.
"So you went out the door and looked for the chef?"
"Yes, I already said that."
Nan's held up her finger.
"When you didn't see him, you looked around the dumpster."
Nan's mimed looking around an imaginary dumpster in the middle of the room.
"Yep."
Lexi nodded. Helen scribbled something on the board.
"Then you saw his shoes and ran around to the other end of the dumpster?"
"Yes."
Nan's ran around the imaginary dumpster,
threw her hands up in mock surprise and then knelt on the ground.
Like this?
Lexi nodded and sipped more tea. Ida went over beside Nan's and looked down at the imaginary body.
You checked his pulse. He was dead. What else did you do?
Lexi shut her eyes, trying to remember exactly what happened. I checked his pulse, his neck and wrist, and then I leaned over to see if he was breathing, and that's when Sylvia came out.
Sylvia, the sous chef?
Ruth wrinkled her brow at Lexi. Lexi nodded.
She was out there?
Ruth asked. Lexi nodded again.
Won't she get the head chef position now that Dugasse is dead?
Another nod.
Then she could be our killer.
Ruth went over to the whiteboard and added Sylvia's name under the suspects column.
Which direction did Sylvia come from?
Ida asked. Lexi pursed her lips.
She came from behind me. I didn't see exactly where, but I assumed she came out the kitchen door.
But she could have been hiding on the other side of the dumpster after killing the chef,
Nan said. The ladies murmured their agreement.
She had means, motive, and opportunity.
Helen punctuated the last word by jamming the cap onto her whiteboard marker.
Well, now, let's not get too excited, Nan said. We can't call the case closed without doing a proper investigation.
Right.
Helen took the cap off her marker and posed her hand over the whiteboard.
Who else do we have for suspects?
Everyone looked at Lexi.
What? Who else would have wanted your chef dead? Did he have enemies?
Nance asked.
He was mean to everyone in the kitchen, but I don't think that would be a reason to kill him, unless he really pissed someone off.
He was yelling at Thomas right before he was killed, but Thomas didn't leave the kitchen. Lexi's eyebrows mashed together.
But I did see Sylvia heading toward the door after the chef.
Aha, so she was out there, Helen said.
Well, she said she was in the freezer. The freezer door is next to the door that leads outside. I didn't actually see her open either of the doors. Lexi shrugged.
But she could be lying, Nance pointed out. Sounds like we'll have to do some digging to see if anyone besides Sylvia would have had motive.
Ida picked up the iPad and powered it on.
Are there any surveillance cameras in the kitchen? Ones we could use to see exactly where Sylvia did go?
I don't think so. The kitchen is pretty old and low-tech. But I can ask Thomas. He might have seen where she went, Lexi offered.
What about the murder weapon?
Ruth asked. It was a standard chef's knife, Lexi said. Thankfully, all of mine are accounted for. Plus, the handle on that knife was different from mine.
Yours are accounted for, but were anyone else's missing?
Nance wrinkled her brow at Lexi.
I don't know.
Lexi bit her lip, trying to picture the kitchen. Most of the chefs had their own personal set of knives. Too bad she hadn't thought to look to see if anyone was missing one.
You should check that out tomorrow, Ruth said. In the meantime, we'll see what we can dig up online about Chef Dugasse and ask around about any potential enemies.
What did you think of the detective in charge of the case?
Nance turned to Lexi. Lexi made a face.
Not much. He seemed more interested in eating pie than finding the killer, which he seemed convinced might be me.
Well, don't you worry. We'll find the real killer in no time. Isn't that right, girls?
Nance turned to Ida, Ruth, and Helen, who all nodded. Lexi stared at the four women, their cheeks flushed with excitement. She had to hand it to them. They were in their 80s and still sharp as a tack. With several successful investigations under their belts, they'd had great success solving murders back home. They'd even given themselves a name,
the Ladies' Detective Club. Lexi felt a momentary pang when she realized this was supposed to be a vacation for them, and she was causing them to have to work when they should be relaxing on the beach. "I really appreciate you guys doing this, but I don't want to ruin your vacation," Lexi said, taking her teacup to the sink. The ladies looked at each other, and Nan spoke. "Don't be silly. Vacations are nice and all. But to tell you the truth, we were getting kind of bored."
"Yeah, we need to keep our brains active," Ruth said.
"Who wants to lie on the beach when we could be tracking down a killer?"
Ida rubbed her hands together.
"That's right," Helen said. "Now you run along and let us get to work."
Lexi felt her shoulders relax. She smiled at the women.
"Thanks. I do feel a lot better knowing you guys are on the case."
She was in the middle of hugging them when the chirping of birds erupted from her pocket. She dug out her cell phone and her heart clenched. It was Jack. She'd been dreading explaining the morning's events to him. He took a dim view of her getting mixed up in murder cases, and they'd had more than one fight over her investigating cases with Nan's and the Ladies' Detective Club. This time, she was going to have to put her foot down. She was a prime suspect and didn't want to depend on the bumbling Detective Bane to find the real killer. She hated to do anything that would jeopardize her vacation with Jack or their engagement, but she was determined to investigate this one with Nan's and the ladies, whether Jack wanted her to or not.